Yesterday we started discussing the Chaim de Beno Gershom with regard to reading the letters written by others. It's quoted by the Be'er HaGola in his comments to Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Nidui V'Cherem, end of Simen Shin Lamed Dalet in Yerodea. We mentioned yesterday some of the explanations given for what the Isser might be when it comes to reading a letter written by somebody else. And it's possible that it was us, or even before the Cherem, it was just merely reinforced by the Cherem. We quoted by Dr. Saul Shapansky and Encyclopedia Talmudis, Chelek Yud Zayin, where they cite in turn sources such as the Tshuvas Halachas Ketanos, who says, well, maybe it's also because Lo Selech Rachel Ba'amecha is understood to mean you can't go sharing secrets. So the Halachas Ketanos suggests, what difference is it if you share secrets with others or if you learn someone else's secrets for yourself? That was his suggestion as to why it might be problematic to read from the letters of others. On the other hand, there were additional svaras that were mentioned, such as perhaps just simply taking a letter that belongs to someone else and reading it without permission is a shoel shlomi das, and that's a gazlan. That was another suggestion made as to what the basis for the iser might be. Rav Moshe Sternbach has a tshuva in his Tshuvas van Hagos, where he was asked the following question from his years in South Africa. Apparently there was a Jew who owed a lot of money to somebody else, and he fled town. And the person who was owed the money came into possession of a letter that was addressed to the individual who owed him the money. And he was thinking that perhaps if he were to read the letter, he would have some information with which he could then go to the Beis Din that he was planning on going to prove his case that this fellow owed him money. Is he allowed to violate the cherem of reading the letter written to this other individual for the sake of hopefully saving himself from financial loss? That was the shot posed to Moshe Sternbach. And Rav Sternbach in his tshuva argues the following, an interesting argument. He says, if you look in Choshe Mishpat Simin Dalid, the din is, Yochol Adam Lasos Din La'atzmo, you can paskin for yourself under certain circumstances. Namely, says the halacha, Imroes Shelo B'yad Acher Shegazlo. Some guy robs your house, you're walking down the block the next day, and there he is. Shmerel the Ganav has got your, whatever it was, he has it. He's got it in his hands. So you have to go to Beis Din and summon him to Beis Din to show, look, he's got that stolen item that was mine. Bring Adam, that's yours. So the Shulchan Aruch says, no. The halacha is that you can just grab it from the guy right then and there. It's mine, take it back. And if he stands and starts fighting, so the halacha is Yochol Lehakoso. If necessary, he has your item. He stole it from you. He robbed your house. You grab it back. If he prepares to slug you, so you slug him first. If there's no other way to get it back from him. If that's the only alternative. So Sternbach says, he says, one of the charamim issued by Ben Gershom was Shlul Hakos Es Chavero, not to strike somebody else. Elamai, so what do you see? Halacha is authorizing you to do just that. For what purpose? To save yourself Hefsid Mamon. So he argues that perhaps here as well, if reading this fellow's letter is going to be the proof that you need to save yourself the financial loss, he says there'd be grounds to allow it, but he hastens to add, Aser lahoros ba'atzmo. Don't paskin for yourself that I got to read the letter for the sake of saving myself from Hefsid Mamon. Summon in, he says, you know, three times the Chachamim, tell them the case, tell them the scenario, have them tell you whether they think it's appropriate for you to read the letter because it might in fact assist your case in Beis Din to save yourself from the Hefsid Mamon. So paskins Rav Moshe Sternbach and his Tshuvas van Hagos in a tshuva, I believe it was in Chelek Gimel, Simen Shin Peches. So yesterday after the Shir, after Meirv, Rav Mati asked me a fascinating question. He says it's fairly well known that the altar of Slabodka, and correct me if I'm wrong or confirm if I'm right, had the practice of screening the mail that would arrive to the Talmidim and the Yeshiva when he felt there was a need to intercept and to read the letters that were addressed to some Talmidim in the Yeshiva. That's the Shmua that is said over about the Altar of Slabodka. So, is that allowed? Is that problematic? So Rabbi said the story that goes, the apocryphal perhaps story, is that one of the administrators in the yeshiva informed the Talmud, or I guess the kollel member, "Mazel tov, your wife just had a baby." To which the fellow responded, "Which one?" "I mean, which one? Which wife? I mean, which wife? You can't have more than one wife. But you can't read letters either. Nope, can't have been a gershom on both." That's the apocryphal story. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I have heard before that the Alta did feel it allowed to feel permissible to read letters that were coming into Talmidim to see, you know, what they were up to, what was going on in their lives, what were they being encouraged to do, were they being urged to come back home, and maybe it was in their best interest just to stay, so on and so forth. So what's the halacha? If it's a chem de ben gershom, was that permissible? So the closest that I came so far to finding a relevant discussion of this in halacha is a tshuva of Rav Chaim David Halevi in his tshuva Sasei L'Charav, Chelek Aleph Siman Mem Beis. He doesn't address the Alter Slabodka, but he addresses the following question. He was asked, is it permissible to read a written communication addressed to a student in a school if it's for educational purposes? In this particular case, the shaila was that there was a young woman who was a student in a seminary, and she apparently was in written communication with a young man, and the educators were concerned that this is not going to go in the right direction, this is not in their best educational interests in terms of the chinuch habanim v'habanos, so they wanted to intercept and to read the letters to see what exactly was going on between this talmida in the school and this young man who has been becoming her pen pal, whatever the case might have been. And the question, says Rabbeinu Gershom, says of Chaim David Halevi, is real essentially this: are there grounds to override, so to speak, the Chaim David Gershom when there are educational motivations for doing so, for the sake of shikulim chinuchiyim? That's the shaila he was asked. So he first stresses the importance of Chaim David Gershom. He tells a little bit about who Ben Gershom was, which we discussed yesterday. How Rashi says about him, Zichat Tzadik v'kadosh levracha, Sheheir Einei Hagola v'kulanu mepiv chayim, v'chol b'nei golos Ashkenaz, Talmidei Talmidavim. Okay, so he stresses the importance of the Kadosh of Ben Gershom, the Chayim of Ben Gershom. But with regard to the actual shaila, is there any basis to say that for the sake of educational motivation or educational objectives, that one can override the Chaim de Ben Gershom? Oh, sorry, similar shaila. In other words, if there is a chinuch issue at stake, does that override the Chaim de Ben Gershom? That's a similar shaila. That's a good point. You know, a parent reading a child's letters. So Rav Chaim David Halevi suggests, this is totally on a discussion in Eben Ezer, Siman Aleph. Because then we find the following in Sif Yud. The shaila discussed in Shulchan Aruch and Ramah is, Ben Gershom forbade marrying a second wife. Was that chayim applied even in a scenario where it would be a mitzvah to do so? What's the classic example? Yibum, exactly. Mitzvah d'oraisa of Yibum, to marry a second wife. And Gershom says you can't marry a second wife. What happens when there's a clash between the chayim and the Ben Gershom and a mitzvah consideration? So the Shulchan Aruch says, B'yivam alo hechrim. Shulchan Aruch says, Ben Gershom was machrim al hanose al ishto, but b'yivam alo hechrim. And the Ramah initially says, V'hu adin b'chol makom sheyesh dichoy mitzvah. Whenever there is a mitzvah at stake, the chayim to Ben Gershom does not apply. And the second example Ramah gives is if someone has been married for 10 years, has not been blessed with children, wants to divorce his wife and marry someone else in the hopes of having the ability to fulfill the mitzvah of puravu. We know Ben Gershom forbade divorcing a woman against her will. That would be another scenario where the chayim comes into conflict with a mitzvah, which is at stake. And the Ramah cites that as a second example. Then the Ramah writes, yes, omnam yesh cholkim, that Chayim Ben Gershom is noeg afila b'makom mitzvah, and even b'makom yibum, and one has to do chalitza, which of course is our practice, that we do chalitza, we don't allow for yibum. But Chaim David Halevi argues that it seems, certainly from the Shulchan Aruch, And he says, even the Ramah, who initially quotes an additional example, even the Ramah, he suggests, might be maskim that, you know, unlike Ibn Khaldun, you have an option in the Torah to do one or the other, but if there is a important mitzvah consideration, so, or to be more accurate, he says, when the reason to override the Chandim and Gershom is to prevent Aveira, that's more what he's stressing, inappropriate relationships developing to young men, young women, in his scenario, where the purpose is to prevent Aveira, so then even the second Shita in the Ramah, which says that the Chayim is applicable b'makom mitzvah, but if you're looking to avoid Aveira, lo gaza klal v'ikr, he writes. So, once again, he says, according to Shulchan Aruch, clearly, b'makom mitzvah, no need to worry about the Chayim. The Ramah initially seems to agree with that, then quotes the Yesh Cholkim, but even according to Yesh Cholkim, he argues, if you're looking to avoid Aveira potentially, or spiritual hazards, however you want to define it, then the Chayim, he argues, would not be applicable. And therefore, in this scenario, he does allow for that young woman's educator, only that one individual, to review the letters to get a sense of the nature of the communication to prevent michshol, he writes. He then adds that maybe you're better off just telling her don't write any more letters, period, instead of reading the letters when they come in. That's a better way to avoid it. But at least in this scenario, he says, b'makom, avoiding avera, he holds that you would be able to override the Chayim in such a scenario.